And this is, I think, one of the real treats of the conference, where we get to acknowledge some of the real amazing achievers in the field of autism research. So I'd like to start by asking the people who are receiving the diversity, the Student Travel Awards, and the Professionals from Developing Countries Awards to please stand up. Your names are being posted on the slides, and I'm really happy to acknowledge that this year, despite some early challenges in our funding situation, we were able, through the generosity of sponsors, to be able to give as many awards for people to come to this meeting, students and professionals, and junior investigators, as we have in previous years. So could I ask everyone who was the recipient of an award this year in these categories to stand? I can't see. Anyway, congratulations. And I hope you're enjoying the meeting. Okay, our next category is we're going to acknowledge, and it's really a very distinct pleasure for me to be able to give the Young Investigator Award this year to Dr. Jamie McPartland from Yale University. Jamie, can you come up, please? Jamie is receiving this award for the research that he has done that was published in the journal Social Neuroscience, titled Atypical Neural Specialization to Social Percepts in Autism Spectrum Disorder. And this has been a very highly cited paper already. It's a wonderful study on event-related potentials showing differences in people with autism to both social and non-social percepts. So thank you, Jamie, for contributing. And I think we have to go over here. Okay, well, I'm now going to ask Nancy Minshew, my colleague on the NSAR board and a member of the awards committee, to give the presentations for the Ritvo-Slifka Innovation Awards.
I'm going to be presenting these on behalf of Dr. Ariel Ritvo, who is unfortunately not able to be with us today, but is well aware of the winners in their applications and was very enthusiastic about both awards. The Alan B. Slifka Foundation seeks to provide two fellowships or awards each year, one in the basic research area and one in the clinical research, to support junior investigators who have innovative ideas that will be of help in moving the field forward. This year, the winner for the Basic Science Award is Dr. Carissa Cassio, Assistant Professor of Psychiatry from Vanderbilt University, and the title of her project is Interoception in Autism, and is fundamentally describes a study to determine whether the salience network in the mind that assesses internal sensory cues and their emotional significance is altered in autism, and furthermore, whether there is a altered or heightened awareness of internal cues using awareness of heart rate as a paradigm. Dr. Cassio?
Congratulations.
the clinical award goes to Dr. Carla Mazeski, an assistant professor of psychiatry at the University of Pittsburgh, for her project entitled Defining and Measuring Treatment-Relevant Emotion Profiles in ASD. The goal of her project is to identify treatment-relevant profiles of emotion dysregulation in ASD and to develop a new change-sensitive measure of emotion dysregulation that can be used in treatment trials, neuroimaging, and genetics research. Dr. Mazeski.
Now my pleasure to introduce Jamie McPartland again, who in his role as chair of the awards committee was not involved in the Junior Investigator Award, will be presenting the dissertation awards in both the basic and the clinical categories.
Awkward. Okay, so we have three dissertation award winners. Dissertation awards come in two categories, basic science and clinical science. And this year, we had to make an exception to that rule because of the incredible quality of some of the applicants. We were handcuffed to choose just one in the basic science category. So I'll keep you in suspense. So why don't we start with the clinical category? And the winner of the dissertation award in the clinical category is Josephine Barbaro from La Trobe University. Josephine? Okay, and the next award winner, Brandon Keene in the basic science category from UCSD and San Diego State University. Brandon. And then the third award winner, Armin Rasnahan from University of London.
Okay, well, it's now my, questionable pleasure. The real pleasure is that this year our Community Relations Committee selected Dr. Temple Grandin to be the recipient of our Advocate of the Year Award. And this is a new award that we began last year, and it's designed to, it's really to present an award to someone who has done so much to promote the cause of autism in the broader community. And I think all of us felt that we could not think of a better person than Dr. Temple Grandin to be the recipient of the award. Unfortunately, however, months ago, when I spoke to her to tell her about the award and to invite her to come here, she told me in no uncertain terms that she was already booked, that she could not change her schedule, that in fact she's receiving another kind of award right now. I think she's being given an honorary degree, which we're not yet entitled to do, so I couldn't top that. And I'm not sure where it is. She told me a couple of different places depending on the conversation I had with her. Anyway, so she's away getting an honorary degree. But she thought it would be fine if we did this by video and that she was going to be coming to Boston. And we arranged this months in advance. And it was supposed to take place at the end of a remarkable conference that was mounted in Boston by the Boston Higashi School, where she was presenting and also receiving an award. And I was supposed to give it to her, and we had the whole thing planned out for 4:30 until Temple's plans changed and she was leaving at 1:30, and I was still 45 minutes away sitting in my office, received the call, and I had to dash out to be able to do it. And I really want to take this opportunity to the people from the Boston Higashi School who made the opportunity available to me to give this award, who then covered for the fact that my videographer wasn't going to show up until 4:30 in the afternoon. They were very gracious. They cut the video for us, and that's what we're going to see today. And I do want to acknowledge, I don't know if Deborah Donovan and Michael Kelly from the Boston Higashi School, are you here? If so, please stand up, and we really need to applaud you, because without Deborah and Michael, we would just be clapping Temple in absentia. But meanwhile, you get to see this event, which I feel a little ambivalent about, and you'll see why on my part, but this is really all about Temple.
I first met you, Temple, at the very first NIH-sponsored State of the Science Conference in Autism held in Bethesda in 1995. Do you remember that conference?
I remember that conference, yep.
Yeah, so when I arrived and you were there, I was actually quite puzzled because I'd heard of Temple Grandin, but I knew you as being a world-famous architect of livestock facilities, and your designs had revolutionized the industry, and I'd read about you in magazines and so forth. And I was so surprised to see you there, and that was the first time I found out that you had autism. So that conference was a turning point for the autism research community. Then it was, of course, still quite small. We all fit in one room. And it marked the point when funding for autism research by the NIH and some newly created private foundations would begin to increase, in turn leading to greater investment and awareness for the syndrome that so few people really knew about then. And there, at that important time in our history, Temple, you were there, and you were already staking out your role as a major advocate for the autism community. I remember that Temple asked many questions of the speakers and contributed in a very lively way to all our discussions. In looking back several years later, I realized that actually that was the first time that I understood that we had an awful lot to learn from people like you with autism. And most especially, I remember that you, Temple, talked about the kinds of issues that we should be investigating because they were so important to you, and that maybe what we were focusing on wasn't quite as important as the ones that you began to tell us we ought to be doing. So it's truly an honor for me to be standing here today and presenting Temple with the 2012 Advocate Award from the International Society for Autism Research, or INSAR. INSAR is the major scientific organization spanning all aspects of basic and clinical research on autism. 3 years ago, we expanded our scope by creating the Community Advisory Committee, now ably chaired by Peter Bell and John Elder Robeson. And last year, they introduced the Advocate Award to be presented each year at our national meeting, IMFAR, to a person or persons who've made outstanding contributions advocating for people in the autism community and other stakeholders. So this is the citation from the committee who nominated you this year. Dr. Temple Grandin is considered by many to be one of the most well-known persons with autism in the world. She was the subject of a multiple award-winning documentary on HBO entitled Temple Grandin. For more than 20 years, she was one of the first and remains in the forefront of advocacy for people on the autism spectrum. A staunch believer in focusing on one's strengths, Temple exemplifies how a person on the spectrum can employ their strengths to lead a fulfilling and productive life with autism as she contributes to the ever-growing body of research, education, and awareness of what those on the spectrum can do. Temple, you inspire so many people who are touched by autism, but not only them. My students now who get to watch the movie about you, they too tell me how much you inspired them. For those who live with autism, they see you as an icon, someone who's achieved success, but still so comfortable with who you are. For parents of children with autism, you've always been a beacon of hope. You're charming, witty, personable, and a staunch advocate for all of those who have autism. So it is truly a great honor for me as president of INSAR to be able to give you this award.
Thank you very, very much. And I want to talk about some of the things I think we need to be doing research on. And we need to be doing research on all the sensory problems, touch sensitivity, motor problems, sound sensitivity, visual problems. And the problem that you've got is autism is so heterogeneous. It's such a variable disorder. One person will have a lot of sound sensitivity, the other person does not have it. But these sensory problems, they vary from debilitating to mild nuisances, and they're very variable. You can't just assign subjects treatments based on which whether or not they're autistic or not. You gotta say, now this is a person that's bothered by fluorescent lights, so we put him in the study. The ones that are not bothered by the flicker of fluorescent lights, they won't be included in that study. That's an area where research is really, really needed. And I think some people have a hard time believing that sensory problems are real. You know, we got hundreds and hundreds of papers on face recognition. I'd like to have a lot more studies done on sensory because they can make living in the real world just impossible. You know, it's like being inside the speaker at the rock concert with a discotheque going on.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much. We will be showing this at the meeting, which is going to be in 3 weeks' time. We're sorry that you weren't able to attend this year.
Carnegie Mellon graduation.
Okay.
I think that's what the event is.
Okay. Well, in a few years, maybe next year, you'll be able to come, or in future years. We'll give you an honorary membership too, Tim.
Well, thank you very, very much.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.